Well, good morning. It is again great to see everyone this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. As Brian mentioned, we have several who are traveling and on vacation. We've got camp coming up in a couple of weeks as well. And so pray for those that are traveling. Those will be hopefully returning to us safely in the near future. And so continue to keep them in your prayers as well. Last week, if you'll recall, we looked at our job as a special people, peculiar people of Christ. Today, I want to take a look at just exactly what Jesus did. Here in Titus 2, we're going to go down to verse number 11. Titus, we think about this letter that Paul has written to him, writes, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Again, we think about Jesus, us being those, his own special people, right? Notice there he finishes out verse 14, zealous for good works. That's what we talked about last week, that zeal to have really that boiling over, being excited, putting in effort to go out and to do as he would have us to do. And I want you to think about this morning his part here in verse number 14. There are a few things that are said about Jesus, the first of which, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. And we think about him being that greatest gift, gave himself for us. You think about perhaps places like John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That gift, the greatest gift that was ever given. And we think about Romans 6:23 being the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, that gift that he gave, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Understanding that he gave himself, this was something that he thought through, that he had a process or a purpose in this, that he had a part that he played. This was not something that he was unwilling to do. If you would, go to Matthew chapter 26. And I want us to notice here in Matthew 26, this is the night that Jesus will be betrayed. And beginning in verse 26, he is going to institute what we have already observed today in the Lord's Supper. And he talks to his disciples and what was going to happen. And he tells them that he is going to be sacrificed. And he is going to, in verse 30, they sing a hymn and they go over then to the Mount of Olives. And I want you to think about this night in his prayer. Beginning in verse 38, here in Matthew chapter 26, he has taken Peter, James, and John, that inner circle with him. And he tells them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Now you think about that. Watch with me, meaning be present with me. Don't think on other things. Don't let your mind wander. Well, what's going to happen to them? They're going to go to sleep. Their eyes become heavy and they sleep. Watch with me. Have a part in this. Be there with me through this process. And we think about Jesus as he goes on a little farther. In verse 39, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." You see his purpose in it, the part that he played? Jesus is not some pawn for the Father. Jesus had a part in this. And as Paul writes to Titus, the way that he describes Jesus, that God has given salvation to all men, that we have, all people have that opportunity for salvation. We can look forward then to that day of Jesus returning. And he begins to describe all that Jesus did. First, he gave himself. And again, you see this prayer. He is sorrowful. He is in agony. And we could go to Luke's account and actually see where his sweat becomes as drops of blood. Hematidrosis is the medical condition that is demonstrated here. Luke, the physician, would have been the one to write about that. But his sweat becomes as drops of blood, meaning that he is in such anguish, such agony, that his blood vessels begin to pour out blood through his sweat glands. So you think about this agony that he tells his disciples that he is in. Those three, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, the same ones that we would see with him on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. These were, for lack of a better way to put it perhaps, these were his guys. These were the ones that he was counting on. And you see his attitude that regardless of anything else, Father, I just want to do your will. I want to do what you would have me to do. I want to be right with you. Jesus gave himself. He's the one who gave himself up. Time after time, we see through the scriptures where they had opportunity perhaps to be able to take him, but because it was not yet his time, Jesus slipped through their midst. Jesus gave himself. He was the one who put himself there. And I think about this when it comes to being a parent. How many times that we do the same thing, that we will give of everything that we have to make sure that our kids are taken care of. And then think about God the Father here as Jesus prays to him. Luke's account actually tells us the angels came and ministered to him. They did everything that they could, knowing what was going to take place, knowing what was going to happen, that he would give himself on the cross, that he would be the one to be that perfect sacrifice for you and I. This is, if you go back to Titus 2, what Paul begins verse 14 with, to help remind Titus, this is what Jesus did. He gave himself. And he gives the reason. Gave himself, notice, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. I started to break this lesson down into each of these points. And I got to redeemed. And thinking about what he did, a few definitions you think about what redeemed is or redemption is: to buy back, to free from captivity, to release from blame or debt, to free from the consequences of sin. When he gave himself, this is what he gave man the opportunity to receive. This redemption. To be bought back. We think about that being bought back. If you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Peter writes, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You notice verse 18? To be bought back, or to buy back, we were not bought, not purchased, not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Instead, you were redeemed, or we were redeemed, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish. That word precious there is priceless. It's valuable. It's something that you and I cannot put a price on or a value on, but God did. God said, man is worth it. Genesis 1 and verse 26 tells us that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. That's the price. That's the value. He said, every single person, that piece of God that we have, our spirit, that will return to him in order to be sentenced, God said, I'm going to give my son. The most valuable, precious thing that I have, I'm going to give for all mankind. Look with me at 1 John chapter 2. Notice here, as John writes, and we think about these words often. Usually we think about 1 John chapter 1 in verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. I want you to notice that every person has the chance, that two-letter word, us, every person has the chance to be a part of that. Here in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he's the one who's pleading our case with the Father. Verse 2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also, notice, for the whole world. Every single person has the opportunity to be bought back, to be redeemed, to be purchased with that precious blood. Not only is that what God has done for us, but if you notice here in verse 1 of chapter 2, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody on our side pleading our case so that we confess those sins. In verse 9 of chapter 1, we do our part. Does God know that I need forgiveness? Yeah, he sure does. Is he automatically going to do it? No. Notice I have a part. My part's to confess those sins. He's faithful to forgive. That's his part. So that when I acknowledge the sin in my life, when I make sure that I acknowledge it to him, he's faithful to forgive. Because of that precious blood. That blood that is constant. That blood that is always there with the ability to redeem. And notice, Titus 2:14 tells us that he redeems us from every lawless deed. So there's not a sin you and I could commit today that we don't have the ability to be forgiven of. Every lawless deed covers them all. We have that opportunity to be forgiven, to be made right with God. He's the one who gave his son. He's the one who gave him to redeem us. That precious, priceless, valuable blood. That we could go to heaven. And every person has the opportunity, the ability to take full advantage of being bought back. That precious blood that he shed on our behalf. And I love that word advocate there. To be an advocate. He's the one, it's like that lawyer on your side, standing before the judge. Is he guilty? Yep, sure is. And he's acknowledged that. He said, I've sinned, I've fallen short. But my blood that appeasement in verse 2, the propitiation, that appeasement of your wrath. I paid that price so that he could be right. And he's the one who's pleading our case before the Father, saying this is somebody who's covered in that blood and been made right. And he's acknowledged that. He has sinned and fallen short. That acknowledgement has been made. The price, my blood, has been paid for him to be okay with you and to be right with you. How incredible is that? To think that that's what he does for us. That that's what he has the ability, because of his blood, to do for you and I. That precious blood, that valuable blood. Look at me at Hebrews chapter 9. You think of all that Jesus does. All that his blood has done. The price that he paid. The part that he plays for us, even continuing on today. Here in Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now think about this. We always talk about the fact that at the cross, Jesus' blood flowed forward and back. Here's the back part that it shows. That would flow to cover the sins of those who are under the law. Notice chapter 10 and verse number 4 here of Hebrews for a second. The Hebrew writer goes on to say, for it is not possible, meaning it's impossible, it's never been possible, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It doesn't have that ability. But the blood of Jesus does. Go back to chapter 9. Notice what he says. Verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. His blood does something that no other blood has the ability to do. Eternal redemption. Meaning there's not another time where anything else is going to be necessary. He entered by his own blood for all eternity. That blood covers sins, has that ability to take them away completely so that they're never held again to anyone's account. Under the old law, you had that day of atonement, where the sins were rolled forward, never abolished, never forgiven completely, never taken out of the way, rolled forward. Not so with this blood. With the blood of Jesus, he entered the most holy place once for all mankind. No one else needs to enter. He did it once for all by means of his own blood to offer eternal redemption. That eternal redemption is open to all mankind. We're not waiting on anybody else or anything else. Jesus' blood has that power, that authority, that value to be able to forgive our sins. You think about his blood and how incredible it is. Look with me at Revelation 5. And I want you to think about you this morning. Where do you stand in regard to having your sins forgiven? The opportunity to have those sins forgiven. See, we talk about the Lord's invitation, the fact that it is always open, and it is always open. You think about that power and that value of his blood. to redeem all mankind, to buy back, free from captivity, no longer slaves to sin, but to be a slave of righteousness, to live for Him, releasing us from that debt of sin. Here in Revelation 5, notice beginning in verse 8. Now when He had taken the scroll, this would be Jesus, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain, and have redeemed us to God by Your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Jesus is the only one worthy to take the scroll because He is the only one perfect to be that sacrifice for you and I. His blood, that precious blood that He shed at Calvary. Notice here, "You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood." And they continue with, "out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." You know who's left out of that? No one. No one. All mankind. This morning I got to teach a Bible class. I got to teach the teens. I really like to teach the teens. It's a great class. We are looking at Acts 2. And on that day of Pentecost, in the upper room, the apostles received the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in tongues. And Peter begins there to quote the prophet Joel, beginning in Joel 2 and verse 28 down through verse 32. God said, "I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, your old men, your young men, your men servants, your maid servants." No one is left out. Males and females, old, young, slave, free. None of that matters. God's not a respecter of persons. God wants all men everywhere to be right with Him. And so He gave His Son to die on the cross. And we think about how powerful that blood is. Here in Revelation, go back to chapter 1 for just a moment. Every person has this ability. Every person has, while they have breath in their lungs and life in their body, to become a child of God and to be right with Him. This is the power of His blood. Look at verse 5 here of Revelation chapter 1. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." You see how powerful that blood is? We talk about being able to have redemption, to be redeemed from every lawless deed, every single sin that we could commit. We have the ability, the opportunity to be forgiven of it. And here we see that He washed us in His own blood. That blood that flowed at Calvary is the blood that still washes us free, gives us that opportunity to be free from that debt of sin, to be free from the consequences of sin. The wages of sin, as we said in Romans 6:23, is death. That's our paycheck for sin. But, I love that contrast. The gift of God, or free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have that ability to be forgiven, to be redeemed, bought back, to be freed from the consequences of sin. I want you to think about you. Have you been freed from those consequences? You see, the thing is, it's not based on my opinion. It's not based on anything that I could do because I don't have the power to be able to forgive sin. Jesus washed us in His own blood. There's the authority. There's the power. He alone has it. We're the ones who have to act on it. To have a faith that is an active faith. I read something the other day. It said, people don't see your goals. What they see are your habits. Meaning, I can tell you all day long what I would like to do. I can set goals for myself. But until I act on that, until I take action, none of that changes. I can tell you all day long that I would like to lose weight. But until I take action, that's never going to happen. I can want it all I want. I can desire it from sunup to sundown. I can wake up desiring to lose weight. I can go to bed desiring to lose weight. But if I don't do something to change my habit, I cannot and will not ever change. People see your habits, not your goals. We can talk about our goal being heaven. That's a great goal to have. But we've got to act on it in order to have it. You see, God did His part. God said, I want you, and His goal is to get people to go to heaven. That's what He desires. That's what He wants. And so He acted on it. He gave His Son. He sent Him into the world. You see, He took action so that you and I could go to heaven. That's His habit. He doesn't just say it. He demonstrates it. He shows it. We have to do the same. We have to take action. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Meaning I actively listen to it to take it in and to act upon it. Not just to say, oh yeah, that sounded really good. No, act on it. Let's take it. Let's learn from it. And let's let that motivate our life and the action of our life. So that we do what He'd have us to do. You see, it causes belief in the Son of God. John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, the Son of God, you'll die in your sins. That belief, I can say it all day long, but if I don't live my life like I do, like I believe it, you're going to call me a hypocrite. You should. You see, you have to show that belief. I can tell you all day long, you have a headache, you should take this because it's going to knock out your headache. How many times have you taken it? Well, then why would you tell me to take them? If I can talk to you about Jesus being able to save your soul, but I don't live like that, I've not helped you at all. We've got to make sure that we put it into action. Belief in Jesus means that I follow Him in the things I do in my life. That I have that godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11. Leading to repentance, which leads to salvation, not to be regretted. No one will regret going to heaven, but we'll regret it if we don't. That godly sorrow produces repentance. That change of heart and mind and action. I don't think the same. I don't act the same. I'm a different person. That's what repentance looks like. Acts 17:30 tells us that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Jesus in Luke 13:3. No, but I tell you, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Change. That change is seen not in what I say, but in what I do. It causes me to confess Jesus. Yes, Romans 10, 9 and 10, by the mouth. But also, Matthew 10, verse 32. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. That confession, not just with the mouth, but in life, demonstrates that. I confess Him by the way that I live, the action that I take. Be willing to submit to His authority. We talk about Him washing us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation 1 and verse 5. Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. After they have asked Him, verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus by His authority. You will receive the remission of your sins. Ability to have our sins washed away comes in His blood. We submit to His will, His authority. We are buried with Him in baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. And I'm not done. You see, then, Revelation 2, the last sentence of verse 10 comes in. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. It's not a one-time action. It is the way that I live my life from now on. Again, I ask you to think about you. Is that what you did to become a child of God? You see, it's not my plan of salvation, it's God's plan. It's His requirements. We do it the way that He says. according to the Scripture. Maybe this morning, as a child of God, though, your words say one thing, your life says something else, and there's something that you need to change. You think about what Jesus did on our behalf in order for us to be able to go to heaven, and there are things in your life that you need to change. This morning, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now. As together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.